From the Land Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It's the 23rd day of December 2009. I'm Todd Gleason. In a few moments, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Paul Cooley of ADM Investor Services. He's in Oakland, Illinois. And later in this half hour, we'll discuss the cash grain market with Matt Blaisdell of the Anderson's Climbers Facility in Delphi, Indiana. In today's agricultural news, the health care bill vote has been moved up. The biodiesel tax extension is expiring, but not dead yet. And the price of used farm machinery is holding strong. I'll have more on these stories in a moment, and then we'll hear a bit of history and lore about the Christmas tree from Shelby County Farm Bureau's Amy Rochkas. And as we close out our half hour, we'll talk with Drew Lerner, World Weather, out of Kansas City, Missouri. He'll tell us all about that great big storm making its way through the Midwest as we head in to the holiday season. And it all happens right here on this Wednesday edition of the Closing Market Report. The Closing Market Report is a production of Illinois Public Media.
This stock and commodity report is made possible with support from Bates Commodities in Normal. Bates Commodities can be reached at 1-800-383-4647 or on the internet at batescom.net.
In Chicago, on this Wednesday afternoon, futures finished the day like this. The nearby contract in the wheat settled 6 cents higher at $5.29 for the March. May at 542.5, up 6.25, and July wheat, the harvest month, at 554, up 6.25 cents. March wheat in Kansas City for the hard red, up 5.75. The lead option settled at $5.23 a bushel. March corn futures back in Chicago up 6 today at 404.75. The May contract at 415.25 followed suit. It, too, was up 6 cents. And July corn at 425, up 6.25. September contract at 431, 6 cents higher. December are the harvest month for the corn at $4.37.25. Up 6 cents today. March oat futures were down a half cent at 258.5. Soy complex now, January beans 10.25 higher at $10.25. March at $10.09, up 10.5 cents. And the May futures at 10.15, up 10.75. July contract in the bean pit at 10.19.75, 11.5 cents higher. And the November futures at 9.86.5. Up 12.5. January bean meal at 303.90, up 5.40. January bean oil at 38.08, settled 3 cents higher on the day. In the livestock, live cattle futures December contract, $1.32.5 higher at 83.27.5. January feeder cattle at 94.45, finished $1.02.5 higher. And the February lean hog futures on this Wednesday afternoon settled at $65.67.5, up 92.5 cents for the day. You are listening to the Closing Market Report. Here's what the outside markets look like at this hour. Crude oil futures, the settlement price at $76.67 a barrel, up $2.27 today. January ethanol at $1.86.2, a penny and 6 cents higher. The natural gas at $5.83, up 11.5 cents. The RBOB at $1.95.7, up 6.8 cents. And diesel fuel or heating oil at $2.07 a cent. Up 5.8 cents of a cent. Gold futures at $1,093.30, up $7.30 for the day. And the Dow at 10,473 is currently trading just about 9 points higher. The U.S. dollar at 77.88 is down 0.37 today. And the CRB index at 279.36 is up 4.47 on the afternoon. Here's what the weather forecast for the two-state region looks like. A winter weather advisory is in effect for northeastern Illinois at that until 3 o'clock this afternoon. In northwestern Illinois until 6 o'clock this evening. In northwestern Indiana until midnight tonight. And in far northern Illinois, away from Lake Michigan through noon tomorrow. A winter storm watch also in effect for northern Indiana from Thursday afternoon through Friday morning. And a flood watch is in effect for the northern two-thirds of Illinois until Thursday evening. Now, tonight, across the two states, in northern Indiana, cloudy, occasional sleet, some freezing rain. In northern Illinois, cloudy, some areas of sleet and freezing rain. That'll change to rain. Elsewhere, occasional rain, heavy at times. Lows will range from 28 in northeastern Indiana to 46 in the south. Tomorrow in far northern and northeastern Indiana, cloudy, some areas of sleet and freezing rain. Elsewhere, cloudy, windy, and occasional rain and rainfall that should be heavy at times. Highs will range tomorrow from 33 in northeastern Indiana to 54 in the far south. More on the weather forecast when we get to the bottom of the hour and talk with Drew Lerner.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
The closing market report is made possible by AgriGold Hybrids, funding agricultural programming as an additional service to the many AgriGold customers in the AM580 listening area. AgriGold, the corn specialists. More information is at AgriGold.com or at 800-262-7333.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report. It's a production of Illinois Public Media on a Wednesday afternoon. Time to check the agricultural futures markets with Paul Cooley of ADM Investor Services out of Oakland, Illinois. Happy holidays to you, Paul. Thanks for being with us today.
Well, nice to be with you, Todd.
Looks like it'll be a good night to be in tomorrow in front of the fireplace and not traveling. I know that's what I'm doing. I'm wondering whether you're headed anywhere or staying at home.
Well, we're going to be by the campfire at the home farm, and we wish everybody a Merry Christmas.
Being by the campfire is not too bad, I would have to say. So let's talk about this marketplace. It was a little nice little pop in the marketplace. Lots of green on the screen today.
Yeah, we'll have to give one finger at the weather with the snowstorm and the concept that we have still 5% of the corn crop out. The states of Minnesota, Michigan, Minnesota, North Dakota, South Dakota, about 300 million bushels in those states.
Right.
The Informa group people basically said there'll be about 450,000 acres not harvested, and they still think the crop is 47 million larger. I think the big factor here is that historically there's 25, 50 million probably will be lost because of the snowstorm. There is some test weight issues. Also, crude oil made a nice rally as well. But what we're seeing is these piles of corn were put away wet, and a lot of corn was put away wet in the bins, and it's going to have commercial dryers and moved and handled very quickly. And I think the amount of rally in the corn market is going to be rather small. And that's also based on the concept that the basis levels at the Gulf are horrible. This big export demand that with the cheap dollar has not shown up yet, and we are going to have a mountain of corn to play with for the next 6 months anyway.
Now, there are a couple of numbers that have been bantered around a whole lot recently by many in the trade and in the industry suggest that $10 cash prices and $4 cash prices for beans and corn, respectively, are a good place to go ahead and market old and new crop. Do you have any different ideas?
Well, I think it's going to be a while on both.
Right.
And they don't like to hear that. And they give me 13 or 14 reasons why that's going to happen. And they like to have it quick instead of longer term. So it's probably a little easier for the $10 bill in beans, but the glory days of 50 cents higher than that or 75 cents higher are over with, and a person should have moved them. And, to some extent, the $4 corn should have been moved too.
Okay, so here we
but
are.
But it's going to be, it's a harder sale, I think, to get those job done, and I'm going to say that should be put on the Christmas wish list.
For old crop, for new crop too?
Well, good question. $10 new crop beans, we did advocate that was a good sale as well. When corn got up to 4.25, I think, out of the field on new crop corn, I was reluctant, but I did encourage people to sell at the elevator and also write some $5 and $6 corn calls for next year. And the problem goes like this, that we're going to probably get a big crop in South America on soybeans. We know that it could turn into a bin buster down there, and with China basically having overbought, their soybean inventory, we could see price levels drop to encourage corn. So I don't think the balance table is we're going to hear anyone at any marketing meeting clear into the Beef House meeting, we're going to have to bid up for corn acres or bid up for bean acres. I think we're going to have an adequate supply of acres in the United States and around the world. And I think that also that these higher prices have encouraged a mountain of production in South America, the Ukraine, and other parts of the world. So we're going to have a big job in America to market a big crop next year, and we better be alert and focused on that as well.
Some have suggested, and I think it's only an inkling, that this marketplace felt to them just a bit like 2007, maybe, and I think there's a big maybe there. Do you see any of that in the offing? That would have been a time when we thought the market might need to go lower, but it started to go higher anyway.
Well, you know, I do think that the commodity investment funds are going to see a smaller amount of money on the table. And I think that we're going to see a stock market that's going to go sideways. And I think the big money in the stock market has already been made, and it's going to be a slow grind. I honestly, Todd, am not a big bull of the pampas because I don't, when I'm out in the, you know, in the financial sectors, and I don't see a lot of people wanting to throw a lot of money around at any new idea out there.
Mm-hmm.
And when I hear that, by the only thing that maybe somebody is talking about is buying corn or buying beans or buying crude oil, well, good luck. That's all I can say.
All right. Well, on that note, you have a Merry Christmas nonetheless.
Have a profitable Christmas, yes.
Yeah, all right. Thank you very much. That is Paul Cooley. He's with ADM Investor Services out of Oakland, Illinois. Joins us here on the Closing Mark Report. It happens each and every Wednesday afternoon. I'll be back in a moment with all the agricultural news for the day.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Farm Credit Services of Illinois. Farm Credit Services of Illinois has been providing for farmers' credit and insurance needs for over 90 years, including real estate, operating and machinery loans, crop and life insurance protection, and programs for young and beginning farmers.
Topping today's agricultural news, the Senate is now expected to vote on the health care reform bill tomorrow morning at 8 a.m. Eastern Time. Earlier, it was expected that Republican delay tactics would not permit a vote until Christmas Eve. At the same time, the Senate will vote on an extension of the federal debt limit. Elsewhere in Washington, D.C., EPA's final rule for the expanded renewable fuel standard has been submitted to the Office of Management and Budget for its review, the final step before the rule can take effect. The Renewable Fuels Association points out that EPA has yet to issue the 2010 renewable volume obligations, which specify the percentage of an obligated party's transportation fuel that must be comprised of renewable fuels. EPA has signaled that the 2010 RVOs will be specified in the final rule and that the obligations will be retroactive to January the 1st, 2010. However, to avoid disruptions in the ethanol blending market, RFA points out obligated parties would benefit from knowing now what the RVOs will be for the coming year. Let's stay with renewable fuels. It's likely the biodiesel tax extension will not be acted upon before the end of the year. Iowa Senator Chuck Grassley and Montana Senator Max Baucus say they will seek action on tax extensions early in January that will be retroactive to December 31st for the expiring $1 biodiesel tax credit and other breaks. Here's Senator Grassley.
Producers need notice that we intend to extend this tax provision so that they can make sound business decisions. So Senator Baucus and I are sending a letter to Senate leaders that this issue will be addressed as soon as possible in January. This will give a little bit of certainty to biodiesel producers.
Grassley says not acting on the biodiesel tax extension will affect workers in 44 states. It is still unknown how long it will take the Senate to take action on the extension. Well, Iowa's largest ethanol producer, Hawkeye Energy, announced that a proposed plan to reorganize one of its subsidiaries, Hawkeye Renewables, has been overwhelmingly accepted by its first lien lenders. As part of the plan, the company has filed for reorganization under Chapter 11 of the U.S. Bankruptcy Code in Delaware. The bankruptcy affects plants in Iowa Falls and Fairbanks, Iowa. The company faces debts approaching $1 billion. And finally today, used farm machinery values are strong. Greg Peterson tracks farm auction results at machinerypete.com and says it has been a very good fall.
The sales we've seen in November and December have been real strong for good quality used equipment, so the trend is held and possibly even strengthened a little bit here. It started with a series of auctions that Steffes had up and down the valley there in early and mid-November. We're pretty darn strong considering all the corn left up there. And then it's just continued down across the rest of the Midwest, down into Missouri, Illinois, Ohio, Minnesota. We've, you know, basically if it's good conditioned equipment on a retirement sale especially, still strong prices for the good equipment out there.
Auction prices paid for disc have been through the roof. Peterson says growers are looking for something to deal with all the compaction and ruts from a very difficult harvest season. Peterson says the used equipment market is very similar to what was seen 1 year ago.
Honestly, I thought once the calendar turned to 2009, I thought used equipment values would have to fall a little bit because they'd been so high from real late in 2007 all the way through 2008. And I just thought, you know, geez, almost out of exhaustion, you'd almost have to have a little drop-off. But we honestly didn't really see that. And so much of it is still tied into what's happening with the new equipment.
Peterson says farm equipment manufacturers trying to control supply, which will impact new equipment values. Year-end tax considerations may result in a surge of business over the next week. And that's a look at today's agricultural news. You're listening to the Closing Market Report. It's a production of Illinois Public Media. Please do visit us online at willag.org. That's willag.org. We'll be here tomorrow, but of course not on Friday. Commodity Week is already posted to our website at willag.org. You can listen to it as a podcast or online at willag.org. Our guest for Commodity Week, University of Illinois ag economist Darryl Good. Now, up next in today's listener opinion forum, Shelby County Farm Bureau's Amy Rochkus tells a bit of history and lore about the Christmas tree.
Christmas trees have been sold commercially in the United States since about 1850. The Christmas tree today is a common custom to most of us and an important agricultural crop for the United States and Illinois with a value of $385 million. Christmas trees are grown in all 50 on approximately 340,000 acres of land. In 2007, more than 7 Christmas trees were harvested nationwide. Oregon is the top producer of trees by volume and ranks 17th nationally, harvesting 112,000 trees in 2007. There are many stories about the origin of the Christmas tree, some trace to an early period before the Christian era. Trees and boughs were used for ceremonies. The Egyptians, in celebrating the winter solstice, the shortest day of the year, brought green date palms into their homes as a symbol of life triumphant over death. Research into customs of various cultures shows that greenery was often brought into homes at the time of the winter solstice. Living trees were also brought into homes during the Old Germany Feast of Yule, which originally was a 2-month feast beginning in November. The Yule tree was planted in a tub and brought into the home. There is no evidence that the Christmas tree is a direct descendant of the Yule tree. This story goes back to the 11th century religious plays. One of the most popular was the Paradise play. The only prop on the stage was the Paradise tree, a fir tree adorned with apples. The people had grown so accustomed to the Paradise tree that they began putting their own Paradise tree up in their home December 24th. Another legend that has not been proved is that Martin Luther is responsible for the origin of the Christmas tree. This story says that one Christmas Eve, about the year 1500, he went through the snow-covered woods and was struck by the beauty of the snow-glistened trees. Their branches, dusted with snow, shimmered in the moonlight. When he got home, he set up a small fir tree and shared the story with his children. He decorated the Christmas tree with small candles, which he lighted in honor of Christ's birth. From the year 1700 to the present, lights have been accepted as part of the Christmas tree decorations. Today, the best-selling varieties of Christmas trees are the Scotch pine, Douglas fir, noble fir, Fraser fir, Virginia pine, balsam fir, and white pine. Trees and branches can be made purposeful as well as symbolic. The Christmas tree is a symbol of a living Christmas spirit and brings into our lives a pleasant aroma of the forest. The fact that balsam fir twigs, more than any other evergreen twigs, resemble crosses may have had much to do with the early popularity of the balsam fir used as the Christmas tree. Whatever legend you wish to pass on, remember that Christmas is a time to celebrate the birth of Jesus. The origin of the Christmas tree can't change the fact. This is Amy Rochkus with the Shelby County Farm Bureau.
Amy Rochkus's comments are her own and reflect her opinions. They do not necessarily reflect those of this station. We strongly urge listeners like you to become involved by sharing your views as well. To do so, just give us a call at 217-333-9697.
Agricultural programs are made possible by Risk Management Commodities Incorporated in Lafayette, Indiana, Chalmers, Indiana, Hudsonville, Illinois, and Crescent City, Illinois. Risk Management Commodities focuses on managing risk in today's complex and sophisticated commodities market. 866-837-9027.
I think I mentioned earlier that we would be here for the closing market report this tomorrow afternoon. That is only true on some of these radio stations. Our home radio station, WILL, will not air the program, but others along the network will, including WKEI, WHOW, WTIM, WGFA, and WHPO. Our thanks, and if you get the opportunity to listen to the program, please do tune in to one of those stations. It is a Wednesday afternoon. You are listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. Time to check the agricultural cash grain markets. Scott Butcher is with us instead of Matt Blaisdell this afternoon from the Anderson's Climbers facility in Delphi, Indiana. Thank you so much for taking the time, Scott.
No problem, Todd.
Anybody moving grain today there?
Very little movement today.
I thought so.
Yeah.
So how's the basis been holding up in the face of all this snowstorm that's coming through?
Pretty good. We really haven't seen much change in our area, Todd. Things are still, you know, most locations are, 20, 30 type, under type number.
Yeah, but it had weakened in the last couple of weeks, right?
Yeah, as we saw harvest kind of wrapping up, I mean, we still had a lot of people in our area trying to get finished up with harvest. So we were seeing those basis levels kind of fall back a little bit as harvest wrapped up.
And harvest is done. You see anytime soon where that basis will start to come back in line, or is it just the fact that you've got a whole lot of grain still to try to move through the pipeline and get dried, and the producers will be moving things out of their bins fairly shortly, and that'll keep the pipeline fairly full?
Yeah, I think that pipeline is going to stay full. It seems like this year definitely we're going to see a lot more movement in January, February than what we even normally would, so I don't necessarily know that it's ever going to get a chance to snap back.
And what are your bids for the day?
Right now we are 23 under the March.
And for soybeans?
15 under the Jan.
Anything to add on the soybean basis before I let you go?
Not really. Not much activity right now.
I didn't think so. Thanks so much, Scott.
No problem.
Scott Butcher is with the Anderson's Climbers facility in Delphi, Indiana, joining us here on the Closing Market Report. On a Wednesday afternoon, I'll be back in 2 minutes when we'll talk with Drew Lerner of World Weather Incorporated out of Kansas City, Missouri, about the agricultural weather forecast and that great big storm that's making its way through the Midwest.
With this look at AM 580 News, I'm Jeff Bossert. A voluntary recall of some swine flu vaccine won't have any impact on those still seeking the shots in the Champaign-Urbana area. Julie Pride with the local public health district says there are still plenty of doses of both the H1N1 flu mist and injection vaccine. The 2,000 doses of the mist being recalled, made by drug maker MedImmune, are being recalled because they'll expire and lose their effectiveness if not used by the end of January. And Pride says anyone already treated with the recalled vaccine doesn't have to worry. About 45,000 people in Champaign County have received the vaccine. Pride says the pace of walk-in clinics has slowed down, but they'll continue from 10 to 2 on Monday at the public health offices on West Kenyon Road. Officials say winter weather is causing flight cancellations and delays at both Chicago airports. The city's Department of Aviation says 200 flights were canceled at O'Hare Airport with delays of 45 minutes. At Midway Airport, more than 40 flights were canceled and delays were about 30 minutes. Cancellations included dozens of Southwest Airlines flights leaving Midway. A spokesman says the airline canceled most of its outbound departures from noon to 4, with dispatchers assessing the situation each hour. Democrats running for U.S. Senate in Illinois are quick to voice support for the Second Amendment, but they also want some restrictions on firearms, particularly assault-style guns. Democrat Cheryl Jackson says gun violence is rooted in a poor economy and a lack of jobs. But Jackson and other Democrats support reinstating the federal assault weapons ban. In answer to an Associated Press questionnaire, Democrat Lexi Giannoulias doesn't mention the ban, but opposes semi-automatic weapons in Chicago. David Hoffman wants to invest more in community efforts to crack down on illegal guns, and Jacob Meister supports the ban. Republican Mark Kirk supports sensible measures to reduce illegal gun violence. GOP opponents Patrick Hughes, Kathleen Thomas, and Annie Martin all oppose an assault weapons ban. Eastern Illinois University has a new vice president. Bob Martin will assume what was once the job of vice president for external relations. President Bill Perry has renamed it vice president for university advancement, saying the position is aimed more at fundraising and development. Martin comes from Auburn University in Alabama, where he is the assistant vice president for advancement. I'm Jeff Bossert, AM 580 News.
You're listening to the Closing Mark Report from Illinois Public Media. It's a Wednesday afternoon. Drew Lerner is here. He's with World Weather Incorporated out of Kansas City and has a pretty gloomy-looking set of weather for much of the Midwest, I think, as we approach the big Christmas day. How bad will it be, and who's going to have it worse?
Well, it certainly is going to be a memorable storm. This one will go down in the record books, I'm sure, for many areas in the Midwest. The worst hit areas are going to be out to our west and north. We'll find a blizzard of significant proportions occurring from Nebraska up into the eastern Dakotas, Minnesota, and Wisconsin. We'll end up with 8 to 15 inches of snowfall there, some local totals over 20 inches. It wouldn't surprise me to see a couple of feet in a couple of counties in northwestern Iowa. Wind speeds of 20 to 40 miles per hour, gusting to 50 miles per hour. This will all occur on Thursday night into Friday. And a little bit further to the east, we'll here in the heart of the Midwest, we'll probably see a lot of rain, and then eventually it'll change over to snow. We'll have flooding occurring across a fair amount of the central and lower parts of the Midwest into the Delta, where we'll see 1 to 3 inches of rainfall and perhaps something greater. We'll probably start off with a wintry mix occurring across the northern parts of the region. This will occur here the rest of today and overnight tonight across northern Illinois and southern Wisconsin, parts of eastern Iowa, and perhaps reaching into northern Indiana and eventually into southwestern Michigan. That wintry mix will lift to the north as we start the warming trend with this storm system. And as we go through the day tomorrow, much of the wintry weather will turn to rain for at least a fair amount of this region I've just described. Then we'll have a lot of rain around tomorrow, and we'll switch over to snow across the eastern parts of the Midwest, starting in Illinois probably early Friday morning. And we'll probably end up with 1 to 5 inches of accumulation occurring across a fair amount of the Midwest from northern Illinois into northwestern Ohio and then up into Michigan. But by far the worst snow accumulations or the greatest snow accumulations will be off to the northwest with the storm system.
Well, it's a year for big storms. We just had one earlier in the week and another one barreling its way through. Why is it set up this way?
Well, you know, I still think it's got an awful lot to do with the general cooling that's taking place as a result of our sunspot minimum that we've been dealing with. We're in a 2-year minimum right now, and I think it's had a pretty significant impact on global weather patterns. There's still a lot of warmth in the lower latitudes, and we're obviously cooling things off in the higher latitudes, and all this cold air keeps oscillating back to the lower latitudes periodically. And the contrast in air mass temperatures always creates bigger storm systems. And so that's the main reason why we've been so wet here recently. And I'm afraid this pattern will continue for a little while longer. Perhaps as we get into January, we'll see a little bit more cold and drier conditions occurring across the northern parts of the Midwest while the storm track becomes more significant in the southern parts of the country.
And I think we took all of the important things up for this week. Next week, we'll talk to you a little bit about some of the growing areas in South America. You have a good holiday season, and we'll talk to you again on Wednesday of next week, Drew.
Same to you. Have a good Christmas.
You too. Drew Lerner is with World Weather Incorporated out of Kansas City. Joins us here on the Closing Mark Report from Illinois Public Media each and every Wednesday afternoon. I'm Todd Gleason.
Agricultural programs are made possible by Learned Seed Service, an independent dealer providing DeKalb and Asgrow seed products, including Genuity SmartStax corn hybrids. Learned Seed Service provides information and services to help customers in East Central Illinois maximize profits. Learned Seed Service, 217-497-2270.